Not too long ago, supply chains were relatively straightforward, but the world's changed. So how do you lead your company to success in the face of rising inflation, global shortages, and conflict in Europe? By putting suppliers at the core of your business and by making procurement a leadership imperative. I'm Georgie Frost, and this is the So What from BCG.
It's probably what every CEO dreams of. You will actually increase your sales and profitability, and you will actually have cost savings available to refuel your innovation pipelines once again and invest the money.
Today I'm talking to Daniel Weiser, global leader of Boston Consulting Group's procurement business line and author of Profit from the Source, Transforming Your Business by Putting Suppliers at the Core.
For the last 50 years, the Iron Curtain fell down. We had WTO supporting us with free trade. We can go to China. We have a billion of people helping us to produce stuff. There was no scarcity in supply. And it was always getting cheaper as well. It was paradise. The world has changed. We have a pandemic. We have a war in Europe, the US-China trade conflict, and many other things. And I think the new Iron Curtains we are seeing, they will last. I don't think there's a way back to source in Russia quite soon. We will see how the US and China will go on. The chip supply, for example, is also scarce, amplified by the Ukrainian situation. Last year, 10 million cars did not get produced. This year, we thought it was 5, but it's going to amplify because there's neon gas shortage out of Ukraine. So potentially another 10 million cars don't get produced. That's a complete paradigm shift. So supply chains are vulnerable. And we need to prepare the organizations to actually cope with this. And that's new. That's why we need different people in procurement. That's why we need procurement at the heart of the center. It is about investments in supplier, making sure you can produce. That's the change.
So basically, for the past decades, companies have been resting on their laurels. And they find themselves very quickly, perhaps over the past 2 or 3 years even, with a situation that is incredibly difficult. What do you do as a company when faced with such a level of uncertainty? And bearing in mind, this has not been your priority largely in the past.
I think that is what we see. You have to dramatically rethink. You also cannot afford to make it hypothetically or theoretically. There's no benefit in chasing black swans. But there are those gray rhinos. We know from the Spanish flu that the pandemic is not happening for the first time. We cannot prepare for everything, but we need to have a fact base ready that if something happens, you know what to be doing and potentially can even take action before. And we see some companies doing this better than others. There are companies who are still producing. There are companies who can deliver goods in time. And then, of course, there are others where they are actually losing market share because they have not invested in preparing their supply chains. We see this a lot. If the CEO is not behind, and really elevating the seat of procurement, owning not only parts of the innovation processes, but also having a say what products use in a supply chain, that can have very negative impacts on your ability to sell products.
We'll get more into the role of the CEO shortly, but I just want to know, and you were right, I was a bit unfair by implying that every company have been resting on their laurels for decades. I don't think that's the case. In fact, it's definitely not the case. What are the benefits of the companies that have prioritized procurement?
There's, for example, a simple study we did. We took a look at the S&P 500 in the US and out of the top 150 companies. One third has actually a chief procurement officer on their board and or part of the leadership team. That one third actually outperformed the S&P 500 in the last 20 years by 134%. So that's some evidence. When you take a look at certain industries, for example, in the tech space, where procurement is actually owning the innovation process, where a CPO becomes a CEO. Take a look at Tim Cook following after Steve Jobs. Those are examples where you can see really benefit when people who are savvy about procurement and supply chain take actually an office and can lead a company to success.
You know what I'm going to say? Correlation does not imply causation. So while that looks very good, what other evidence is there that actually by putting procurement first, as it were, you'll reap the benefits?
There's another thing. On average, the CEO spends 1% of his time with procurement. And on average, 50% of your budget is actually with the supply base. On average, about 50% of the innovations you can actually insource comes from your suppliers. So those CEOs who spend more than just 7 minutes a day with procurement are leading those companies which are more successful. And I think in those times we live in, when yes, there is inflation, you potentially can do still cost savings. This is not good enough anymore. We're talking about multi-currency procurement, where we want to come to a place where we reduce CO2. And this only works when you work with your supply chain. We want to de-risk supply chain. So we want to have the goods available we can produce. We want to have good quality and speed. Think about a vaccine in Europe. If you have smart people thinking something through, you need still a home where you can manufacture that vaccine. That is what happened with BioNTech and Pfizer. That's procurement. And that is what we're arguing. Those times are over when you have a simple focus on getting something in for cheaper.
Is that where it's been, just on cost cutting?
I think cost cutting in an old Lopez sense is not anymore the paradigm of procurement. It is still important because we still need to finance innovation. Everyone will take a cost cutting. Good, accept it, but it's not good enough. We have to be completely different in thinking through, for example, where we want to make trade-offs. Think about CO2. If you want to get to a 1.5 degree reality, obeying the Paris Agreement, we need to be also spending more with suppliers potentially, supporting them in investments in new products, which potentially use less carbon. And that is where we need to come to a new world vision where procurement is much more than just cost savings.
I'm wondering about those companies that have prioritized procurements. Is it certain type of companies that have, tech companies, perhaps where it matters more?
I think you're very right. Tech companies probably that cluster of, at least in our thinking, of companies which are most advanced in procurement. I mean, it's not only rare that a CPO becomes CEO, that's the Apple example, but take a look at Dell and Apple and also Tesla. It is the supply chain and the procurement guys who own, to a large extent, the innovation and engineering cycle. It is them who have a say in where to produce, what to do, and how to actually make those supply chains resilient. And that's a difference to many other clusters. Take a look at automotive, for example. Engineers tell the procurement team what to do. Procurement team is tasked to get it in for a good price. But that is not working out anymore because we don't have the full supply ready. You're operating in scarcity, you're operating in inflation, and you have to actually achieve the sustainability targets, assuming you want to be leading in the sustainability piece. If you only have a cost focus, like in some of those industries, this will not fly. And I think there's a lot to learn from actually the tech cluster.
You make a lot of claims in the book about how your company, if you do make this a priority, you lead the way, competitive, innovative. If it was so beneficial, why have companies not prioritized it? Why have CEOs only spending 1% of their time thinking about it? If it is so vitally important and the benefits are what you say they are? Or have they just been caught with their pants down basically over the last couple of years?
I think there are two reasons. One is, for 50 years, everything was available. And it was not a need to focus on procurement. You just found the stuff and you bought it. But now with the shortages there, with so much uncertainty, this is not good enough. Those are the negative events. But there are also positive events which are changing the world, like the push for sustainability. And that is then something where we need to rethink supply chains and where companies potentially too late understood on how much they can benefit from supply chains. If you take, for example, the CO2 footprint of a car, 60-65% of the emissions come from the supply base. So if you want to come to CO2-friendly cars, you have to work with your supplier. You have to put new teams behind. You have to put new teams behind with a different skill set. And that is what we are completely missing at the moment.
You mentioned that it starts, I guess, with CEOs. CEOs have a fundamental role to play. Why do you put so much emphasis there at the top?
Procurement at the moment is a bit like corporate Siberia. And I don't think the change can start from within. You need to have a CEO, the board, a leadership team of the company ready to put the spotlight on procurement, ready to have a person from procurement join the board, ready to have that person from procurement sitting on the same floor as you are. Why? Because you need to be talking to your important suppliers and offer something. And offer something means co-investment, certainty in demand. It means so many things, but those things, nothing a procurement professional can offer. That's a board decision. That is true partnership for the important suppliers. So we think that only a CEO and the board can make that happen, because if you leave it to the people stuck in corporate Siberia, they don't even have the mandate to take those decisions.
Where do you start to build this emphasis on procurement into your company? Obviously, it starts with the CEO getting on board with the idea. Then what?
The next thing for us is to actually change the company in itself. One push is invest in digitization, make the company as much as possible bionic. Why? Because we want to get all the effort out of the transactional operational stuff. Free up the people's time to become creative, to work on the strategies. Second, have procurement folks own the life cycle of the product, at least co-own it, and make sure that whatever we learn from supply chain gets embedded in the way we source the product. And lastly, it is about actually treating suppliers as a friend, as true partners, those which are important for you. And that's a mind shift. That goes out to the ecosystem. And the thing is, what do you expect from your supply base? In our thinking, yes, of course, cost savings also in inflationary times still matter. However, we need to have a focus on CO2, human rights, on a sustainability agenda. We need to think about speed, getting goods early enough to market to be able to sell it. We need to think about quality. We need to about thinking about risk. In times when supply chains are unstable, in times when we have shortages, we need to have an emphasis on resilient supply chains and availability of products. So that is, I think, what needs to change, A, within the company, and B, also what we asked from our suppliers.
Transform the company sounds quite a large undertaking. That's what it takes?
We think so. At the moment, many companies tick internally, and you can do so many cost-cutting efforts and so many pushes in R&D. But if you understand, if you typically take your 20 or 30 biggest suppliers, they typically entertain R&D teams, 20, 30, 40,000 people available, they could be working for you if you partner with them rightfully and do something together with them in a meaningful way. And that is where we think it is a transformation, because we need to become a lot more focused on the supplier and allowing partnerships to happen. And I think that's a dramatic shift from the way we operate today within the boundaries of your company, so to say, but really extending that, leveraging your global supply chain.
Can you do that without breaking the bank?
We think so, yes, because by all honesty, that sustainability and all the other dimensions are important. Cost will always matter in a supplier relationship. We have seen those investments in suppliers truly paying off, because if you give them stability and security, if you invest in long-standing partnerships, you will get also cost benefits back. We don't think that is reducing profitability. It's actually the opposite. We actually think when you orientate yourself towards your supply base and put the suppliers at the core of your thinking, you will not only have a more attractive cost base, but all the other benefits we discussed earlier as well available for you in the company.
Is the ultimate to get to a stage where almost you factor procurement into the design of products, if that's your business, obviously?
I would clearly say yes. Take a look again at Apple. Procurement is in the design process early on involved. It's their job to get innovation insourced from the supply base, to actually have global capacity available, then to produce those products, integrating those innovations. And that is different to many other industries where procurement only comes involved very close before the start of production.
Should every company have a lead in procurement then?
I'm not sure if everyone needs one. There potentially are industries where procurement is not creating competitive advantage, I don't know, for some more service-oriented companies where basically only buy real estate or an office or an IT infrastructure. But for all those companies where there is a physical product out, I would clearly say yes.
It is great having, if that's what your company will need, a lead in procurement, to have your, as I said, the CEO on board and start to build this emphasis on procurement. But then how do you take it to the next level to maximize it, to get the best partnerships that you spoke about with suppliers?
By doing it differently. I don't think it's enough to say, hi, here's my new email. We're going to change the world we have been living in for the last 50 years. No, you need to reach out. If you're the CEO, you need to personally contact the CEO of your most important suppliers. You need to own this, and you need to change this then, because at the end of the day, we need to elevate the relationship because we want to elevate decision-making. If you really want to make breaking decisions, both CEOs, the client and the supplier CEO, need to be involved. And then, of course, they can delegate it back at one point of time to the teams. But it's a true change. It is not coming from procurement. It is, or it has to come from the CEO in changing the way you have interacted before.
What can suppliers do to help companies to position themselves into greater advantage?
I think one of the most important things suppliers can do is understand your client's strategy, reach out and offer on how you can help, reach out to those people who make decisions in the company, get heard. Be very clear on what you can offer to those companies and be selective. I don't think, and that's not what we're saying, you can be friend with everyone. You cannot partner with everyone. But pick that number which is relevant and feasible for you, where you can partner, and then reach out and do it. But I think that is what many times relationships become very, very transactional. That is, I think, what is missing most. Why don't you reach out if you have something in your innovation pipeline which is great and do a co-innovation partnership? Why don't you secure early on selling on that stuff? Why don't you even pitch it? And I think that is the change we are now seeing in certain industries, but it's truly not the case everywhere.
So if you were to give companies then a blueprint to leave us with as to how you would do this best, what are the key takeaways?
I don't know any company who does it perfect, not even a tech cluster. Potentially, they need to improve a lot more on sustainability and putting their supply base into action also on this topic. But it needs to start with the CEO. Then we need to take the company with us. We need to give procurement a mandate to actually own the product life cycle, co-own the product life cycle, invest in digitization to make it real and have the free time to think about the strategic topics and treat suppliers differently. Those who matter, treat them as true partners. And lastly, escape the monodimensionality of procurement. It is not only about cost savings anymore, but equally important is sustainability, is a resilient supply chain, is quality, is speed, and is innovation. And if you put currency behind that, incentivize the procurement team to not only deliver on the cost basis, but also on a CO2 basis, on the innovation basis. That is the best advice we can give, because if you put emphasis on it, people typically start to act.
And if you do that, spell out the benefits for me.
It's probably what every CEO dreams of, because you will actually increase your sales and profitability because you have those products A, available in those times, and B, hopefully a lot more innovative than those originating from their competition. And lastly, you will actually have cost savings available to refuel your innovation pipelines once again and invest the money. So the benefits are quite numerous. And it's not only cost line, which we can drive out of procurement. It's truly the top line.
Daniel, if you and I are to meet up in 5 years' time and do this podcast again, let's hope we do, what sort of things do you think you'll be telling me? What will have changed?
I hope that we will move to a lot better world. Potentially, we have advanced on the sustainability topic and it becomes, again, a priority. Potentially, we have left some shortages behind, but for sure, we will have not left some geopolitical conflicts behind. So I think ultimately what has changed, I would predict a lot more focus on risk management, a lot more emphasis on sustainability. And I would hope some companies have actually put suppliers at the core and are really benefiting from still working supply chains.
Thank you so much. And thank you for listening. We'd love to know your thoughts. To get in contact, leave us a message at thesowhat@bcg.com. And if you like this podcast, why not hit subscribe and leave a rating wherever you found us? It helps other people find us too.